Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to You Parkcast, park fans. As you know by now, we're a podcast for theme park fans, and we're here each week talking to people about all theme park related things. I'm Bex, this is Kev.
Hi everyone.
And we've got a guest with us today who has seen things from both sides. He is one of us. He is an enthusiast through and through. But during that dreadful COVID pandemic times, which we all try to put to the back of our minds, but we can't really forget, he also went and worked on the other side and took a job in a theme park. And he's also got a fascinating day job. So this is going to be great. Brad Corbin, welcome to Parkcast.
Hello, everyone.
You reached out to me on TikTok because you saw some of my TikToks and you were like, I need to be on your podcast. And I said, yeah, why?
That's why a good start. Why?
Well, why I saw you mentioned that you had a podcast and I was like, I need to be on that podcast. Like, I have some good stories to tell. I don't have many Fusey fans, so friends. So I was like, I need to talk to people about, you know, what I've done and my life as a Fusey.
Yeah. Well, you sold yourself really well. You have got quite a fascinating day job, and that kind of links into how you got the job at the theme park. So let's talk about that. Let's get that out of the way first. So what do you do day to day?
I trained in musical theatre when I was young, and then I ended up moving to Germany because I got a job there, and then I jumped around different shows and I worked with different musical producers and things. And I started off in a show called Starlight Express.
I've never heard of it.
There's currently one in Wembley as well. And I was a part of the show for a long time, and then I left and did lots of other things. And I ultimately returned because of COVID, really. There wasn't many jobs going and they asked me to come back. It's very difficult to get new cast members to join because of the required skills for it. And they have to go, you have to go through a very intensive kind of training program to be a part of the show. So to get someone new to join, it's very difficult. So to have someone that can already do it because they've already done it before is much easier for the company. So I rejoined the show just because they asked me to. They needed people, and I basically didn't leave because I was very content with my career up to that point. And I ended up working my way up through the company, and I now kind of work on the creative team side. And basically now my day-to-day job is to basically teach people to roller skate.
So good.
That's so cool.
So cool.
You don't just teach people to skate, though. You teach people to skate in Starlight Express, which is just like phenomenal.
I guess it's a little bit different. It's very difficult. It's a very fun job. It's very, very challenging. You have like this array of, basically, it's easier for us as in the team to take people that can already dance and sing who are trained and teach them to roller skate rather than take people who can roller skate and then try and teach them all those years of training that people go through of singing and dancing and acting. Mm-hmm. So we do it that way around. So every year I get a fresh bunch of cast members who replace the ones that want to leave. And I basically take them from day zero to opening night and teach them how to do the show and how to skate. And yeah, it's really fun. We have so many big ramps and bowls, and the production here in Germany has been running for, we're going into the 38th year.
And wow.
I've been a part of the show now since 2014. And so it's a huge phenomenon in Germany. They love it here. The show is still in its kind of original format. It's been updated, of course, throughout the years just to keep it relevant, but it's still in its original kind of format. It's like a huge, huge arena that we play in. And it's really good. We have the original creative still involved. Arlene Phillips is still a very big part of the show, and I work alongside her.
Just casually name dropping Arlene Phillips into Park. That's cool. All right. we get a lot of people with a lot of obviously interesting theme park jobs on this podcast, but that is up there with one of the coolest jobs we've had on, I think, definitely. Do you think you could teach anybody, like, as in me, Bambi on Ice, could you teach me to roller skate Starlight Express?
Yes, I could, yeah.
No!
Yeah, as long as you have some, like, so there's like one check I always do. One thing I always ask, and this comes from a former teacher, there was a guy called Michael Fraley. He was basically the guru of Starlight Express. He invented, like, the way we skate for the show is different to maybe what professional, like, figure skaters do, right? So it's all very it's been made up for the show. And he was basically the guru. He made all this stuff up and he taught this technique, and he was a phenomenal skater, and unfortunately he passed away. And so that's when I kind of came in to kind of help take over and carry on his legacy a little bit. But he basically had this question, and it was always, do you like roller coasters?
Really?
And he found that if you liked roller coasters, you would be good at doing Starlight Express, because people who like roller coasters have no fear. They just want to go fast and do all the big ramps and all the big hills. Amen. And he found that people who like roller coasters took to the show much better.
And so I always
ask that question, and it's honestly a huge part of it.
Amazing. Well, there you go. See, we could be the next ones in it. I did drama at university, Brad. So
there you go. There you go. As long as you've got some good bend in your knees, we're all good.
I was not expecting to hear that. There you go. If you are a roller coaster enthusiast, you're already halfway there to being a world-class roller skater. Who knew? This fascinating. I mean, we could talk about this for ages, but we are a theme park podcast, and people might start getting upset if we don't start talking about theme parks.
Yeah, often. Although it's not a musical theatre podcast.
It's not, although you would, I'm sure, guess very well on many of them. So talk to me about your roller coaster enthusiasm. Like, obviously, you've mentioned it makes you a good roller skater, but presumably one came before the other.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember like being like obsessed with like the fair when I was younger, like when I was a kid, like maybe I was like 3 or 4. I don't know what it was. I just really loved it. And my parents always took me to the fair. And then I think at some point, I think we went to either to like Florida when I was like 9 years old or something. And I think it kind of all stemmed from there. You know, that family holiday everyone takes to Florida. And I think at some point also my mum took me to Port Aventura when I was like quite young as well. So I think it all kind of came from there. And I think my mum always thought I'd grow out of it. and if anything, it probably got worse, you know. I got more into it, and I just kind of, I've just always loved it. I actually kept it like very close to myself for a very long time, because I didn't really have any friends that were also kind of heavily, you know, into roller coasters or anything. So I kind of didn't really think it was that normal. So for a very long time.
Yeah. We've talked about this on the podcast before, that especially, you know, I don't want to age you, but you're probably, you know, not far off mine and Kev's age. And we didn't have like social media then. So now theme park enthusiasm is very accessible and everyone sees loads of people talking about theme parks. We didn't have that. So you did feel like you were the only one sometimes.
Yeah, I did. And I always felt like if I was to like start talking about all these things I knew, people would be like, you're crazy. You know, like I just always kept it to myself. I think it would have been nice if there was that more kind of social media showing stuff about theme parks and things online, because I think maybe I would have got more involved, and I think maybe I would have like been a big part of the community maybe. But I think at the time it kind of wasn't happening, and now I'm too old to like I have an Instagram page and I post pictures of coasters that I've taken over the years, but you know, it's not like it's not big or anything. And it's, I think if I'd started like way earlier on when it was all kind of starting to go on social media, maybe I'd be one of those big, you know, theme park vlog people, but it just never happened.
So I would say it's never too late. And this podcast, we've only really been doing, you know, properly for about a year and a half, as in doing it every week. And we're both 40, so it's never too late. And we've had people on the podcast like Dean Stokes, who came on the podcast, was doing the world record attempt. He'd never had anything, you know, a roller coaster page or anything like that. He just loved them, and he said, I'm gonna set myself this challenge, I'm gonna go and do it. And he gave himself a platform, and now he does do loads of content on it. So if you want to do it, and I say this to anyone who listens to the podcast, and people do message and ask about, you know, starting podcasts even and things like that, just the first thing you've got to do is just start. If you don't start, you're never gonna get anywhere. But just start and work out who you want to talk to, and the people will come if you make interesting stuff. And I would also say there's a great community of us, and obviously, Brad, you're more than welcome to join. You say you don't have any Thuzy friends. Well, there's a load of Thuzy friends on Parkcast who listen to this podcast, and we've got a great little community here. So yeah, awesome. It's great to have you along.
Is it similar in Germany? Do you find like theme park enthusiasm is a big thing in Germany, or is it kind of
there's like you have like your typical kind of YouTubers, but just in German. You know, there's like Ride With You. He does a lot of stuff. I see a lot of things on YouTube. I mean, if you speak German and you understand it, his content's really good. You know, there's lots of things like that online. It's just, I think maybe from if you're maybe from the UK, you're not really going to be exposed to more of the German social media people, you know, because why would you?
Got a good selection of parks to choose from in
We do.
Germany as well.
We do. And also I find like my living in west of Germany, you have access to so many parks because I am literally like an hour's stone throw from like all the parks in the Netherlands, Germany, and also a few in Belgium as well. Like it's so like I have a really good selection of parks to go to.
That is like the dream, isn't it? Like essentially, okay, where should I go this weekend? I'll just nip over to there.
Like I think my first month when I lived in Germany, I think I went on Google Maps and was like, right. Oh, do you know on Rollercoaster Database, you can type in a park and then you can click parks nearby. I think I just was like, okay, I know the nearest park is probably Phantasialand or Movie Park. What's nearby? And then I was like, oh my God, there's so many. Like I knew they were all here, but I didn't know how close they were. And I was like, I have to go to them, all of them. So
Do you have a
that's where
favorite
I just,
one?
in Germany, probably Phantasialand for obvious reasons. I do think Europa Park is a very, very, I think it's the best park, but I think the rides at Phantasialand are better. Europa Park rides are all good, but they don't do it for me. Voltron's amazing, but you know, the rides at Phantasialand are just way better.
I mean, they're both stunning parks. They're both
They
in
are.
my
They're
top
very good.
three. So,
Like I don't think I would ever spend more than a day at Phantasialand. I think you can do it all in a day, whereas Europa Park, I'm like, I need 3 days for this place. There's so much to do, you know. So I think it's over like a I have a more of an experience or more of like a holiday feel when I go to Europa Park, and I really enjoy that. But Phantasialand, I can just go for the day and it's good.
So you're super close to Fantasia. It's like you're Kev's closest is on towers. It's like that's your on.
Jealous.
Imagine living with Fantasialand on your doorstep.
Well,
It's
I know
London.
it's very jealous that you can
Yes,
be,
but
and
I would.
also to Holland as well, I suppose. Yeah, you can get to Efteling and everything like that.
I would say I'm about an hour to Toverland. And Efteling is probably about an hour and a half from me. So, and I'm about a 2 hour drive to Walibi Holland as well.
This is insane. And I think, right, we've worked it out. We've got the skills to become roller skaters. You just need to employ a load of enthusiasts
Exactly,
as
yeah. You've
skaters,
got
and we'll all
another
come
reason
over.
now.
And also, you'll have a whole new bunch of friends. So, I mean, it
Yeah,
works for
exactly.
everyone.
It's funny though, you're right. It's funny though, because I would rather have Alton Towers as my home park, which I know
No,
sounds crazy,
well,
probably from your end.
this is
When was
interesting.
the last time
Why?
you went to Alton?
I went to Alton Towers, I think, about 4 years ago. So it was no, it was pre Nemesis Reborn. I rode the old Nemesis just before its closure. Like I just love that park. I think it's got something to do with my childhood because I went there a few times for my birthdays, and I had this obsession with Nemesis when I was younger as well. And I just love that. I just love it. If that was my home park and that was my home coaster, you know, I would love that. I'd love to go there more often. I mean, I don't know if maybe it's the same for you, but I find if I go to Phantasialand too much, I kind of kill the love for Tauron. Like I've done it
That's
so many times.
interesting.
I've done it so many times, I don't think it's that special. Whereas I know when enthusiasts come over and they get to ride Tauron, they're like, oh my God, this is incredible. And I understand that it is amazing. But I think when you do it so much, you don't appreciate it.
That's really
We've
interesting.
talked about this, haven't we? And because, you know, Kev's a huge Alton Towers fan. I like Alton Towers. It holds a special place in the heart of many people who come on the podcast. But we've also all seen it decline a little bit, and we have our frustrations with that. And we've mentioned before, is it because we're too close to it and we kind of take it for granted that we have these frustrations? And would we have the same frustrations about any other park if that was our closest park? So it's interesting that you say that.
I mean, the operations at Phantasialand are incredible. Like, you can go on a quiet day and they'll have three trains operating on Tauron. Like, you know, it's like there's never, and all the rides are always open, they're never down. Whereas I feel like well, last time I went to Alton Towers, I think Oblivion was down all day, and I think Galactica closed for like half the day. So, yeah, but I do love Alton Towers, it just has a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
It's a really magical place, and there is no theme park like it in terms of setting. But yeah, like you say, the operations are, I think, what frustrates us the most. That and the food, which we can also say at Fantasialand, the food is absolutely awesome. Like for theme park food, it's just the options that you've got, the choices. It's
not as good as Europa Park's food, though. You know,
I mean, they're both great. Do you know, I'm going to Europa Park next week, and I'm already now like, you're making me really excited for it. So obviously, you've got all this enthusiasm, and you're loving roller coasters. Working in the theatre, and then COVID happens.
Yeah, at the time I was in Stuttgart. Actually, I was working in Stuttgart. I was doing a production there, and we closed because of COVID, and it was just like the whole world stopped. And
it was just
like,
bang, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I was like, okay. So I came. I still have my apartment where I live here. I was living just in Stuttgart temporary. So I came home, and I was like, what do I do? And I was like, you know, it'd be 2 weeks, and I thought maybe some jobs would open up. The show closed. It was like done. And I was like, okay. So I kind of didn't really do, I didn't go straight into working at a theme park. That wasn't kind of the first choice. I kind of had, Germany have quite a good system of unemployment money where you actually pay in your own money. And then when you become unemployed, they give you it back.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of took that for a year because I was entitled to it. And I thought, why not? And then I think I got to the point where I was like, okay, there's actually no work. Like, there's nothing to do. Like, I couldn't. I think I booked, I did a TV advert, I think, in Berlin. And that was like just when things started to like happen again. But there was no live theatre. That was just not a possible thing. It wasn't happening. Even filming the advert in Berlin was like stress because of all the rules and regulations. And that was a 3-day shoot. And then I think I was like, I need to get a job. Like, I need to actually do something. So I'm not going to eat into my savings and, you know, support myself, pay my rent while I wait for live theatre to open again.
It was a while as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good like two years.
Well,
yeah.
It was just stretching out in front of us. And that was the thing, is we had no idea at the time when it was going to end. For you working in theatre, you thought this, I have no idea when my shows are going to get back. Like, this could be 3, 4, 5 years before people can visit them normally, because you had to have all the social distancing, didn't you? So that it wasn't like financially viable for the shows to run, even when the world started opening up a little bit.
No, because they were doing this policy where you would leave like 2 seats empty between every person. Yeah. I mean, that's just not, you're not going to earn back, you know, some income from that, because you're only selling out a theatre at a third capacity when it takes maybe 2/3 to break even.
Yeah.
It just wasn't happening. And then auditions that did come up were generally so niche, or like, we're looking for somebody to fill in one role, and it would be like, must be 6'4" and have this type of voice, and you're like, well, that's not me. And then that's that job gone. You know, and that was so difficult. And also lots of shows that were hiring people were literally looking for people that had already done the show before, so they didn't have to do a rehearsal process.
Which
happens quite a lot in the business anyway. Sometimes it's just like every so often, like a few years, they'll go, okay, we're going to hire people that we don't have to do a rehearsal process for. I don't know why. Maybe it's cheaper. Maybe it's just easier for that year. So that was happening a lot because, you know, you didn't have to have social distancing in rehearsals. So again, if it was a show that was casting that I had not been a part of before, then there wasn't a chance for me to work in that job. So I was only open to jobs that I'd done before. But again, wasn't really happening because of all the COVID rules. So that, it was really like, okay, I don't know when I'm going to work again. I need to find a job.
And the job that you found was in a theme park. And I guess that was intentional. You didn't think, I'll just go and work in my local Lidl or wherever. You were like, oh, I need to do something. Obviously, you've got a job now that you absolutely love. So I guess you're trying to fill that void. It needs to be something that I love.
Yeah, I went from doing something that I like absolutely love. Like, it was like my childhood hobby that became a paid profession. So, I mean, I don't think that happens for many people.
No.
So I'm very grateful for that. I think when it came to finding a normal job, I was like, okay, what realistically am I going to be happy with doing? And I was like, okay, I'm not going to work in retail because I just can't do it. I was like, I can't work in like Lidl. I can't sit on the checkout. I was like, I can't, what am I going to do? And I was like, there's theme parks nearby. And I knew they were open. And I was like, okay, working out the math realistically, okay, I drive 45 minutes to a park, 40 minutes to a park. Is that viable? I was like, yeah, I could do that. And then I saw online. I just was like typing in theme park jobs. So I found a job at Movie Park Germany, and they were basically hiring for like all positions, right? So they had a interview, and I think at the time this would have been 2021, I think. And my German's pretty good, like I'm pretty fluent, but the at that time, I think my progress of German just goes up every year. So at the time it was pretty good, but like, you know, there's some words that I'm like, I'm not sure what that means. So I had to go and do an interview in German for a theme park, and they were asking me questions. I actually think it was okay. I think they just wanted people to work there, so I don't think it really mattered too much. But I think I showed that I spoke enough German that I could kind of communicate with the public, and I could do what they asked of me. And I basically met a guy called Peter, who turned out to be my boss in the end, and he was the nicest guy ever, actually. Like, as a boss goes, like, so nice. I used to work front of house in a theater in London before I came to Germany, and the boss I had there was just the biggest job's worth, and it was just so not fun. And it should have been like fun, because all the people that worked front of house weren't people that were dying to do that as a career. They were all performers that just were doing it just to fill their time and make money to pay rent. And she didn't understand that. Whereas this guy at Movie Park was like, I know that you're a professional performer. I know that this isn't your life, and I'm here to support anything you need to do outside of here. So you can work here to pay your rent during COVID, but if you have something come up that you say, I need to go and do this, like I need to go film this commercial or whatever, he was like, I'll just let you have the time that you can go. So that was like, I was super lucky to find him. He knew I was a theme park fan. I wasn't sure if that was going to go against me or not working there. I didn't know if they wanted just normal people, or if they were like, we want theme park enthusiasts to work at our park. I didn't know like if that was something that they didn't like or not, but yeah, I told him everything. He asked me like, what do you think's good? Like, what would you think would be good if you worked in a theme park? And I'd be like, I think operations to me are super important as an enthusiast. And I think if I worked on a ride, I do not want to see a queue that's like stood still. I want to keep a queue moving, get people on the ride. And he was like, okay, yeah, good. That is something that that we're interested in. And I was like, obviously safety and blah, blah, all the typical stuff. And so yeah, then I got a phone call, I think like 2 days later, and they offered me the job to start on the following Monday. And and I started working there, and I was part-time. I did like four shifts, 4 days a week.
I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, when because we think about like being enthusiasts, don't we? And then how that then translates if you were to work. I know people have said to me, "Oh, Kev, you should work at a theme park." And I'm like, I don't know, because I quite like going there because it's immersive and it's that kind of escapism. But I suppose then when you are working there, and you can bring something to the table still, can't you?
I remember being like working on one of the coasters, and I just remember being like, it was nothing to do with me at all. All I was there to do was operate and press buttons. But I remember thinking like, there's a queue here, which is a good like 20 minutes. Why are we not on a two train operation? Why are we only running one train? But it's nothing to do with me. Like that's to do with like park management. Like they decide that. So I just remember thinking like, as an enthusiast, I would have two trains on this coaster right now. But it's, they don't think about that.
This is effectively like your first day in a normal job. Like you've
Basically,
gone from the
yeah.
theatre and you're suddenly going to go in and work and have to face the public like very close. Theatre, you've got a degree of separation. Your public are there, but they're there
Yeah.
to like adore you. Whereas now you're like, it's someone like you say pushing buttons.
Yeah.
Did you have to adjust your mindset into that, or were you just like, I'm buzzing for this, and this is just something new?
I was really nervous because one, it was not in my native language, the whole thing. Like all my colleagues, that everything was just not in my native language. And also, just like working with like, I don't want to say normal people, but like people outside of the theatre world. It was like I don't really interact with people outside the theatre world. So it was like, okay, are they gonna enjoy me? Sometimes I don't burst into song or anything. I'm not like stage. Sometimes I like
I'd
I'm
love
you
it if you did.
know, I'm a bit
That'd be great.
I am a bit theatrical sometimes. So, it's like, I'm like, are they going to like not like that? Or like, my first day was a training day. So it was like I had to stick around. I had like a buddy that already worked there, and they would show me around for the morning and then the afternoon. Basically, the park is split into like five sections, and you are assigned as a colleague one section. So I was in section four, And section four, you would operate all the rides in that section. I know some parks work differently because I know at Fantasialand, they work just the one ride the whole season. So if you'd get a job on Tauron and that would be your job the whole, whereas at Movie Park, they rotate you around every day. So you don't get bored on the one ride, which is quite nice. So I was in section four. I don't know if you've been to Movie Park or not, but section four is the Nickelodeon land. And that's like where the Wild Mouse is and the Log Flume. And they also operate a couple rides that are outside of Nickelodeon, like the Huss Top Spin and something else I can't remember now. So we would rotate around those rides. And basically in the afternoon, I did 20 minutes on each ride and just watched how it was operated. And then at the end of the day, I had to take an exam. I had to go and sit down and do like this paper. It was like, how tall do you have to be to ride this ride? And like, what is the weight maximum or blah, 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 you know, the typical questions. I just had to answer all those questions, and then go through them with the boss. And he knew that like some of the, I understood everything in the exam, but there was a couple words I was like, what does this mean, you know, in the context? And he did help me a little bit because he knew I understood it, what was going on. And then I did that. And then the next day was my first real day. So my second day was the day where I was on park on like a ride. And I think my first day was on, they have like a small Vekoma Junior coaster called Mission to Mars. I think that was my first day. I worked on that ride and kind of just worked with somebody on it on that first day. And then after that day, I was on my own. And yeah, I just learned how to operate it and everything. And it's quite interesting, actually, some of the things that happen. Cause like, I don't know if I can say this, that coaster has like, it doesn't operate very well in the rain. So like if it's raining, the train actually slides past the sensor on the brake run and it gets like a false signal onto the on the operation desk. And so then you have to call the park technicians. They have to come and reset it and push the train back into the station. So, but there was a way around that. If you were like experienced working on it, you could do something. I can't remember now, it was so long ago, but you could do something and you could actually avoid it, like missing the sensor, and you could actually get it back in the station. So like things like that I never knew about. But I remember coming home and telling my wife and being like, you never guess what, like this coaster, like in the rain, like it doesn't stop properly on the brakes. And she was like, no, really? Like I never knew that would be a thing. And I was like, me neither. So that was like, and I actually think that happened on my first day, like on my own. I think I had like it stopped on the brake run and didn't go into the sensor, and I had to call the park technician staff, and they had to come and do something. And I was like, oh God, like off I done, you know. But yeah, it was pretty, like after that, I just kind of, I was really used to it in the end, and I just kind of did it. It's very, very monotonous.
Is
Like
it?
very monotonous, because you literally have to go through the same procedure like every cycle of the ride. So you'd be like, okay, harness check, or like lap bar check, okay. But that, like after doing that for an hour, oh my God, my back, like just the
Really?
constantly bending down and doing it. And then you always had to like wipe in the morning. We always had to clean the train and wipe the front down. Forgot to say that. And then yeah, so then we'd run, do a test run, and then we would operate all day, press the buttons, check the harnesses. And you always had like you have like a key, and you'd put the key in the controller board, and then you'd turn the key, and then you'd press like the go button. But the go button wouldn't work unless all the harnesses were obviously clicked in. So you'd do that, but then you had to take the key out and hold it with you all times. So when you did the like lap bar check, you had the key with you, and then so that no one could go and touch anything on the desk, because it just wouldn't work because it's quite open there. It's not like in a cabin. So I always had to do that. But then if you lost the key, and if you dropped the key down the side of the train and the station, it would go underneath the station, which I definitely did.
Did you ever do that, Brad? Are you
Yes,
admitting to it? Have
I think
you?
yes. You know, so there's all these sort of things. But then you'd have to do that cycle all day, and like a cycle was what, like a minute. So it was just like, it's
Never thought of
yeah,
that.
it's
Not
just
never thought of
pretty
that.
we all
very
think
monotonous.
it's going to be fun to like do that, press the button, go send the train, which I'm sure it is, like you say, the first
Yeah,
time you do
it's
it,
fun for a
but
first few times, and then
yeah.
it's like, oh my God. And then it rains. And do you know what? Didn't like theme park, like if enthusiast worst nightmare is having like a thunderstorm and lightning, right? And you like can't ride anything, and you stick there like, oh my God, no rides are open. But it's kind of like a worker's like dream, because you're like, oh my God, I've got like 20 minutes not to, like just to stand here and just kind of take it all in and just breathe. No. Yeah.
Especially, I think, because I've noticed in the parks in Germany, like the operations are slick. Like they, there is no standing around. They don't take their time with dispatching trains. Like they are like bang, bang, bang on it. And then next one, bang, bang, bang. So yeah, I can imagine it is quite an intensive workload when you're trying to keep everything moving.
Yeah, so like, I used to have, I used to set myself a goal. I used to work on the Wild Mouse quite a lot. And it's quite good because on the on those Mac Wild Mouses, the trains actually can roll through the station without stopping if you do it quick enough. If you don't do it quick, if you don't do it quick enough, the train will hit a sensor that the lap bars are open, and then the train will come to an automatic stop, let the passengers get on, then you close it, and then you press the go button, and then the train will carry on.
Right.
If you are super quick and efficient, you can get the people in the train, shut the lap bar, and it will go through the sensor with the lap bar closed, and it won't stop, and it will just roll right through. So I used to give myself a goal to keep myself like it, like concentration, and give myself something fun to do. I used to try and see how many trains I could do without getting it to stop in the station.
And then you'd get a guest who was being really slow, like getting off, and you'd be like, no, my streak.
You know those people that hold up a train operation with their bags and they like,
We know.
Yeah, those people that would stop it, and I'd be like, no, you ruined my game.
Five people are here. Yeah. I suppose that's a good thing we were saying about with Fantasyland, because imagine then if you're on the same ride all day. Whereas every obviously the move part, you were able to move around. So I suppose that's the benefit of doing that. I suppose that's nice. You got to, at least you've got to keep moving around rather than, like, say, if you are on Taran all day, you're literally doing that all day, aren't you?
Yeah. And it like, it is fun to move around, but you also have to, every ride is operated different. So like if you're working on like a different manufactured ride, their way of operating that ride is different to like, say, if you're on the Vekoma coaster, if I was on the Mack Wild Mouse, it's like the way they operate is different. The buttons are different. So you have to learn every individual ride. So that's a little bit different, and you have to really know what you're doing. But it did keep it like not as monotonous to be like, okay, tomorrow I'm doing this. And I obviously had my favorites that I like to work on. So sometimes, because in the Nickelodeon land, that's also got the Paw Patrol area, which is for like very small children. And I just found that I wanted to literally blow my brains out. Like I have a fun story actually. Like it was near the end of the season of working at Movie Park. So it was like maybe like November time, October, November time. And I had been booked to dance behind some German pop stars on a live TV show.
Oh, showbiz.
There you go.
So I was like, okay. So I asked Peter, the boss, and he was like, totally, you go do this. Like, this is your life. So you have to go do it. Okay. So I'm like, cool, awesome. So I basically had like 3 days off because we did a 1 day rehearsal to learn all of the choreography. And then we did like the staging with said pop star. And then on day two, we would basically had like a, because it was live filmed on German TV, we had like a rehearsal with the live cameras, which wasn't live. It was just to do all the camera shots. And then on the day three was the live performance. It was in an arena. It was 12,000 people. And it was like, it was amazing. So I'm doing this, and like, obviously, I don't know if you can imagine or not, but like when you're like on a stage and you've got 12,000 people like screaming at you, and you've got this pop star and you're like dancing behind a pop star, it feels amazing, right? And you come off and you're like, that's, I can't believe this is my life. And then the next morning I was working in the Paw Patrol area on this kiddie ride,
right, for 3-year-olds.
And I remember sitting there pressing the buttons being like, I can't believe I've just gone from what I did last night to working with these 3-year-old children on this kiddie ride. And that's not
scream
to say
if you want
to
go faster, kids.
Yeah, literally. And that's, I'm not putting like a downer on working on those rides, because I know people do it still, and it's their job. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just, you know, the juxtaposition of what I was doing
was
for me was crazy.
There isn't many people who do it one day to the next either. Like you might do it like, oh, I started doing this and then I do this, or the other way around. But you wouldn't go from arena performance one night to Chase's day, carousel or whatever it was.
I think it was Zuma Zuma's. It was like a mini whip ride. You know, when they whip around the corner, it was like one of those for children. And I remember sitting out. I was on that. You do like an 8-hour shift, and you'd sit there, and you'd press the button. And I just remember just my eyes just like glazing over. And they go round, and oh my God, it was so boring.
was there not an option for you to work on the entertainment teams in the theme park? Because you'd kind of think that would be like a natural place to put you.
during the time they had no entertainment in the park because of COVID,
Right.
so that wasn't an option. They only had meet and greets with like costume suit people, you know, like in the giant like
Did you
SpongeBob
not want to
costumes.
do that?
I really did not want to do that.
That would even be more of a lie, wouldn't it, for you then?
And again, I don't want to like put a down on anyone that does do that because works work. But for me, I just didn't want to be in a big SpongeBob suit or a Paw Patrol costume. And like, I was really happy, I think, as an enthusiast to actually press buttons. Like, that was something I, they were, okay, I'm talking about the bad bits, but there were some like a really fun bits that I really did enjoy, which I can get onto in a second. But I was more happy to press the buttons. My boss was always like, do you want to like maybe work on the entertainment team? And I was like, no, do you know what? I'm really okay. I was like, I really want to go and press the buttons on that roller coaster. So I'm really good. Yeah, there were some days we actually had the luxury of being able to like swap with someone on park. So you could be like, hey, you've got this ride and I'm on this. Do you want to swap? And then they'd say yes or no. So a lot of my team hated operating the Hus Top Spin because it was a nightmare. And I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
So I very often switched and I very often did the top spin and I actually really enjoyed my day on that. I don't know, they're kind of like a dying breed now, the old top
Yeah, the
spins.
old ones are,
Yeah. And I mean, I know why now after working on one. They are just like,
Right.
every single time I worked on that top spin, it would break down every single time. And I would
Really?
have to call the technician to come and fix it. And normally it would happen with them in the air. And they would just be there swinging. And I would be like, and the computer is like the flashing at you. And you're like, I can't do anything right now. And then you'd have to do like a little announcement to be like, ladies and gentlemen, please sit still. We'll be at your service shortly
Did
or
you have to
something.
do that in German, though, presumably?
Yeah, but it's always like all the little statements you say are always written on like on the window, like
Yeah.
on a sheet, so
Okay.
you can just read it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the top spin was quite interesting because it was like the harnesses, it was very difficult sometimes because the harnesses had like they had a certain position where they had to click into for the computer to give you the go ahead. And very often someone that was a little bit larger, the computer just would not let you just operate the ride, and you'd have to ask them politely to kind of get off, which I always found super awkward. And then very often somebody, if they were larger, would press against the harness on a top spin, which would then send a signal to the computer saying that there's an error, which would then stop the ride, which is normally why it broke down. And then you'd have to then park it in its home position and then tell that person to get off, but then continue the ride for everyone else. And I did that maybe two or three times. And that was also really like super, that was like, I really hated doing that because I just don't think anyone, like, I don't want to put anyone in that position and make them feel bad about themselves. And you always have to try and word it in like a really nice way. But at the end of the day, it was literally just the weight of somebody pressing against the harness would send this like signal that would stop the whole ride. And there's nothing you could do about it. We would put the top spin into three programs, and there was like 1 to 9, I think, on the computer board thing. I think program it was like a 3, 5, 9 or something. I can't remember. And 9 was like super intense. So
Right,
you'd start
okay.
off on like they would go up, and then you would like they had like different intense programs, and they were like longer or shorter cycles. But we would do 3 cycles on a top spin. We would start on like 3, which was quite tame, and then the whatever number is, I said, was like a medium, and then 9 would finish, and it had like the most flips and stuff. And so you'd do those 3 programs, but also I don't know if you know this, like on a top spin, you have to count how many people are on the gondola, and then you have to put that in to the computer, so it knows the weight. So it knows that, like, I think it like maybe to do with the brakes on when it flips and stuff. So it
Right.
knows that it knows it's heavier or lighter. So it knows it can like computes different. So you'd have to do that as well. So you'd put on like the number for the people on the ride, and then it was good. It was a good ride. I liked operating that. It did break down a lot, but that kind of added to the excitement of doing it.
Keeps you
Did you
on your
control the
toes.
fountains? Could you control the level of the
No,
fountains as
that
well? Was
you
that
could
set program as well?
I could turn them on or off, but they were if set, like you just turn them on. If it was like really cold, I'd turn them off.
Okay.
But you could turn them on and they would just go at their own. I had no control over the fountains. Maybe the ones on Ripsaw or Alton Towers back in the day, maybe they were like controllable, I don't know. But the ones in Movie Park don't go up high enough to hit the ride anyway. So I think they're just for show. And at the end of the day, of working on the top spin, you would always have to go and pull all the hair out of the harnesses. Because I'm not joking, honestly, this is a everyday routine. The amount of hair that
Wow.
would be stuck like in the hinge from the harness is like it would be on every chair, and you'd have to go and pull all the hair out. And at the end, you'd have like a bundle of hair and you'd throw it in the bin every day if you worked on the top spin.
Oh,
wow.
Did you ever have slightly worse than that, something to clear up?
I did. I had once. I had some sick, and I mean, you get told how to handle it. You get like a thing of crystals, and you put it on, stops it smelling, and then you have to like wait, and then we get buckets of water, and then you just like slosh it away. And then
That's not a nice part of the ride
no,
up job,
it does
that is it?
happen. It does happen. My favorite day ever working there was so they have probably one of, I'm a bit of a drop tower enthusiast.
Oh, stop it.
Nice. Love
I absolutely love drop towers. And it's funny, because I've done so many and I've done some of the tallest ones, and I always find the smaller ones better. I just don't know what it is. Like I did Kilimanjaro, and I've also done the Lex Luthor one. And they were kind of naff, even though they were like 400 feet plus. I was like really disappointed. But the one at Movie Park is like kind of 180 feet. It's quite small, but it is so good. Like it's so intense. It's fantastic. And my favorite day was when they were short-staffed in another area, and they asked me to go over and do the drop tower. And I was like, this is my day. Like I was so excited. Back when it was Warner Brothers, I can imagine that they had maybe more staff on a ride, because they literally have one person per ride there, or if it's a coaster, they have two. And the drop tower, I think, is probably like a three-person operation, because you have the main control booth, and then there's three buttons around the drop tower, and with like small booths, but no one worked in them, so you'd just be on your own. And basically, to get the tower to work, every harness had to be with a green light, and then you'd have like 30 seconds to go and press all three buttons, and then run back to the cabin and then press them. There was,
What?
yeah. Like a Crystal Maze
Yeah,
challenge.
literally, there was two buttons in the cabin that you had to press at the same time that would make the ride go. If all three buttons weren't pressed within the 30 seconds, you didn't get the two lights on the control panel. So you'd have to like run, press the button, run, press the button, run, press the button, and then try and sprint back to the cabin to get the two lights up to press them. If you didn't do it in time, you had to go around and do it
No.
again. Yeah, and
Did you ever
wow.
miss it?
Once, but I was thinking like maybe like back in the day when it was Warner Brothers, maybe they had like three people maybe
Oh,
on the
yeah,
ride, because each person would stand by their button and you'd just get a farm and then you press the buttons. But no, they had just me on it, and you'd have to run around and do this like assault course to make the ride go. But that was honestly my favorite day. I like generally loved it. And it's quite interesting because the drop tower, it's all programmed, so you don't actually press a button to make it drop. It just does it by itself.
Oh,
Which,
okay. Yeah, cool.
I don't know if the other ones are different or not, but the Intamin ones are definitely like programmed. So
Just
I
does
would
kind
think
of
so, yeah. I knew exactly how long it took from when the gondola would stop rotating. I knew exactly how many seconds it was before it would release, so I could kind of play some games and do like the fake countdown, or
Oh, okay. Yeah,
drop
yeah.
on three kind of thing, or that kind of stuff. So I had a lot of fun thinking up new ways to do that, and had a lot of fun doing that. But it was generally really good, and it's interesting how many people would be like, how many people have died on this? Like every day someone would say, has someone ever died on this? And you'd just be like, are you serious?
Do you think it would still be like,
Every day.
about 35?
Oh well, I've locked you in now, too late.
Bye. See, I think they should have given you a pair of roller skates to go and push those buttons,
Oh
because
yeah, right. That
then
would
you'd
have
have
been
been
perfect.
sorted.
I
You could
love
have done
that.
like a little like backwards moment as you made your way around.
Pressing the buttons.
You missed an opportunity there. That would have been a pre-show
That would definitely add to the theme, wouldn't
if you know. Absolutely. Yeah,
Um,
that was one of my favorite days. I really like that was actually a day where I was like, I had the best day today. I got to operate an Intamin drop tower, and I've always, it was just like dream take. I really enjoyed that.
Amazing. It's interesting that you say like people ask you how many people have died. Did you get a different appreciation of what the public think about theme parks by working on that side of it? Like, did you get other stuff like that that you're like, oh, people don't know that, or this is like you see a different side of the theme park because you're dealing with people who aren't enthusiasts?
Yeah, do you know those like weird stories you hear people talk about in the queue? Have you ever sat in the queue line and you've got someone behind you being like, in 1950 95, three people died on this, and you're like, no, they didn't. Yeah. You're making that up. Like, you hear these weird stories, and if you like, you'd hear things like that all the time, like people just chatting rubbish, like in a queue or like waiting in the station. Like, you'd be like, you have no idea, like, you know, or like, do you know, once upon a time this derailed or something, and I'd be like, no, I did it.
The worst one is when people say, yeah, it was going around, the harnesses came up at one point. It's not possible.
It's literally
locked in and out in the station.
Or they let, once upon a time I was on this ride and we started and the harnesses weren't closed. I'm like, that's actually not possible because you don't get the go ahead on the computer to actually set the ride off. So you're wrong. But
you should just say that when you overhear it and just be like, actually.
Yeah. But my I think the downside of that was really, I find like quite a lot of people were quite rude, like park goers, like maybe not Fusies, but like just in general, like entitlement of being like, oh, I've waited here for so many long and I deserve to be in the front, or, you know, that kind of stuff. And you're like, well, actually there's no front queue and everyone's waited the same amount of time as you have, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You get quite a lot of that kind of behavior as well that you have to kind of deal with. Or like I get quite a lot of people that would come to like the fast pass entrance and be like, we've had a terrible day, you know, we've only done three rides and we've been here for how many hours, and I think we should be able to skip the queue. And I'm like, well, actually, you don't have a fast pass, so one, you can't, and two, what have you been doing all day? Like, it's not that busy. Like, if you plan the park well, like, you know, I don't know, maybe you do the same when you go to a park, but I'm like, right, back of the park, work my way forward, get on all the rides that everyone's, because people go to the rides at the front of the park first.
Yeah.
And generally I can get a whole part done and do rerides, and I'm like, and you've only done three rides, what have you been doing? You
know? Yeah.
Would you like me to be your assistant for the day? Come with me, let me show you how it's done.
You never want to be that person either, but sometimes you just think, oh man, I just need to speak to you about this, because it's like really frustrating when people like say like that, you know.
Happens, so, unfortunately, but you know, you just have to handle it.
Was there anything that surprised you about being on that side of things?
Do you know what? I did learn this. It wasn't like official knowledge, but I just noticed from working there that parks lie about queue times, because...
Oh, actually?
Really?
So we've all had our suspicions.
We've all thought this.
I'm not going to say movie park, because they don't actually display queue times, but maybe they do now. I don't know about the time they didn't, but other parks for sure, like they lie. The queue lines are lies. Like they'll say it's 40 minutes. It's not, it's 30 minutes. Like it's 10 minutes shorter. They want their guests to go and buy Fast Pass.
Yeah.
They make money through Fast Pass. They want you to go and buy Fast Pass. So they make it look like it's busier than it is to make money. And I realized this after going to many parks and working in one. I also have been to a few parks where they actually take a train off the coaster to build a queue up to make guests go and buy Fast Pass, and then an hour later put the train back on to make
so
the queue go
cheeky,
down.
So cheeky, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've noticed that in parks, and I know, and I just, like, no one officially told me at Movie Park, but I just know that. I just know that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have done an episode debating Fast Pass, to Fast Pass or not to Fast Pass, which you can go back and listen to if you haven't already.
I will. But like, you can do it like Europa Park does, which is genius. Like, there's no Fast Pass, and you have virtual queue, and it's first
exactly
come, first
that.
Serve.
Yeah.
No.
It does make a difference what you realize now when you look at that, like your appreciation of Europa Park, and these are the parks that do that.
Absolutely.
It goes up in your it goes up higher, doesn't it, than other parks that do it, and you go, well, that park, I want to go there, because they know how to treat the guests and make you feel valued.
Yeah. The worst park for it is Port Aventura, for sure.
Oh, like, I mean, don't even talk to me about the operations at that park, because it
terrible.
Kills me every time. Yeah. Having, like you, I went there probably like 25 years ago, was the first time I went there, and I loved that park. Mm-hmm. And you just, I mean, I haven't even been for the last 5 years because I refuse to go with the stories that I hear about the operations. I don't want my memory of that park to be tainted. So I last went in 2019, and it was semi bad. Like, it was, you could see it had got worse, and I think it's got worse again. And
they
essentially have to buy a fast pass. Mm-hmm.
They oversell fast pass there as well. So like the fast pass queue sometimes is longer than the standard queue, and it's just ridiculous. And then you got Spanish queue jumpers.
Yeah.
It's a
real shame.
And like Shambhala's running one train.
Yeah.
And they
do it on purpose. I'm telling you, they do it to build a queue so you go by fast pass.
Yeah.
Did you find that you've got a new appreciation now then when you go to theme parks now then, when having worked there, do you kind of have a new appreciation when you go to these parks and you see how everything's run now? Do you look at it differently, or do you try and block that out and just go as an enthusiast?
No, like, I go as an enthusiast. I try and have fun, but obviously you do notice things. Like if I'm at Europa Park and I'm like, okay, we are in a 30-minute queue for Voltron. They have five trains on the track, and they are putting on another train to take it to a six-train operation when it was so unnecessary. I'm like, that is good. I'm like, round of applause. Like, you're doing the most here to make your guests have a good experience. And I notice those things more. I notice, when a park is doing the most to trying to give you the best day. Which Europa Park, I'm going to talk about them again. I mean, it's just they do it the best. Like, they know exactly what they're doing. Their queues, I went there 3 weeks ago, and it was very busy. I didn't think it was going to be that busy. It was very busy, but I didn't wait any longer than 20 minutes for anything, and it
Very
was
good.
bit. So, they're doing it.
And that
Whereas
would have
some
been
parks,
Halloween, I guess, when they were doing their sort of Halloween event. And at the same time, at Scarefest Alton Towers, I mean, the Smiler queue is up to 2.5 hours. So
I see
that
that
is
online.
the difference that you get at Europark. And one of the reasons you don't need a fast track is because their operations are so slick and they just get the queue moving.
And maybe if Alton Towers kind of did like the virtual queuing thing that Europa Park do, which is, free, first come, first serve. And if you get one, you get one. If you don't, you don't. Then it kind of does definitely help with you getting on rides and not being stuck in a queue all day.
I mean, it's been lovely chatting to you about all of this. There's a story that you mentioned to me that I do want to ask you about, that you got evac'd from Top Thrill Dragster.
I did, yeah, I
I mean,
did.
like, first of all, you got on Top Thrill Dragster, which is
I
like
did.
a massive jealous moment. The fact that you've been to Cedar Point, don't even like,
Don't mention Cedar
don't talk about Cedar Point on this
Point. I went. I did two America trips. My first trip, I went to Six Flags Great Adventure, and I did Kingda Ka.
Oh, he's done King
And
the Car as
you've
well. All
done that as
right.
well. Okay, there you go.
And that was the first kind of that was the first drag coaster I did first, and it was like my number one. I absolutely loved it. And then the following year, I did a I went to Florida, and from Florida, I carried on, and I flew to Cleveland, and I went to Cedar Point, and I did 4 days there, and I did Top Thrill Dragster. And honestly, okay, so it's shorter and it's not as fast as Kingda Ka, but the lap bars just made the whole thing just like a whole different experience, and it was way better. Even though it hasn't got that huge like camelback after the drop or anything, like it was amazing. Okay, it was down on the second day all day, so I got to ride it on the first day. Second day it was down all day, and then the third day it was down in the morning, and then it opened, and then on my last day it was down again. So obviously it had problems, but it did open, and I got three rides on it. My fourth ride, there was no Uber in Sandusky in Ohio, and the taxi service didn't really go outside of that area. So I didn't hire a car at the time because I was on my own and I didn't really want to. So I got an Uber from the airport to the park, which was like an hour and a half drive. And I got that Uber to come pick me up like 4 days later, because that was the only way I could get back to the airport. And he was like, okay, I'll be outside the park at this time in the evening for you to get in. And I was like, okay, great. So I was looking at the clock, and I was like, okay, I've got half an hour until the guy comes to pick me up. Top Thrill Dragster's got a 15-minute queue. I reckon I can get one more ride on Top Thrill Dragster and then be back there for my Uber. And so I queued up, I got on. I think I was like in the front car or something. And we got onto the launch track, and as we launched, the cable, it didn't snap, but the catch card broke, which I read online afterwards, like on forums, because I was like, what's going on? But honestly, the whole thing was like making this noise, and we barely climbed up the top hat, and it just crawled backwards into the brakes, and there was like a weird noise, and I was like, that does not sound good. And I was like, okay. And I was sat there, and then the time it took for the train to roll all the way back from, like, because that launch track is so long, we were like at the other end of it, and it had to roll all the way back to the station, but we had no speed because it didn't roll up very far at the top hat. And so it took like 20 minutes to get, and I was like, my Uber, I'm gonna miss this guy, I'm not getting to the airport. And we went all the way back to the station, and then it closed, and I think it was closed for months after that. And
Oh,
I
that was the bit. That was the time.
And then obviously then there was it did open again, and there was that accident with the piece of metal in it that hit the person in the queue. So it did open again after that, but it was closed for a really long time. And I was reading online about it, and people were saying about the catch card broke or something. And I was like, I was on that train. Like, what are the chances?
Crazy.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. So I did, but I did get to experience it three times before that. So I did ride it. It was phenomenal.
Did you manage to get home as well, or you just had to stay there for another day?
The taxi, I think I was like 15 minutes late for the taxi, and he did wait for me. So it did work out in the end. Okay. Home.
But thank goodness.
That park is really in the middle of nowhere. Like it's very difficult. If you don't drive, I do drive, but I didn't drive there. But if you don't drive, it's very, very difficult to get to.
Mm-mm.
But so worth it. But you can't. Yeah. It's funny because you can't actually walk to the park. Because the peninsula that you walk down to get to the park is a no pedestrian area, so you can only drive. You can only drive to the park.
Yeah.
So you have to get taxis back and forward. But yeah, Tour of the Dragster was incredible. At the time, they were building Seal of Vengeance, so I didn't get to do it. But I need to go back. But yeah, it was really, really good.
Go back and do Top Thrill 2 as well, and now you can compare and contrast.
Yeah. 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 I have done Red Force as well, which obviously is very similar, but it's very good, but it's nothing compares to that snappy cable launch that you get on those original shows.
This is the thing. I've done Red Force as well, but I always wanted to do Top Thrill Dragster, and COVID again scuppered my plans.
Well, I was meant to go. I had a trip booked to go to Dollywood, and I was going to travel down to Carowinds because I really wanted to do Theory 325.
Yeah.
And right before that, I had the plane booked and everything, but I managed to get a refund. But I hurt my back so bad in an accident that I was like, I was really hoping it would be better by the time my trip came around, but it didn't. And I was injured for a long time. So I had to cancel it. So I never got to do it. So I'm going to try and make that happen again. It's been years now since that opened, but at the time, I think it was new, but missed out on that one.
Well, also plugging another episode that we've previously done, go back and listen to our road trips with Mark, who's our American coaster enthusiast friend, who's given us some amazing ideas for American road trips and other parks that you can kind of tie in with those that are really easy. That's definitely worth a listen to if you plan to head back over there.
I said definitely. I want to go next year, I think.
Yeah, he's just like the most knowledgeable guy when it comes to American theme parks. We just absolutely love having him on here. Before you go, you also mentioned to me that you got into Epcot for free by accident.
Oh, I did, yes.
You just have like the most random things happen to you as a coaster enthusiast.
Yeah, I was in Florida. I went on that little solo trip, and I'm not controversial opinion. I'm not really a big Disney fan.
I'm in the same boat as you.
I love a theme. I love a dark ride. I'm here for the coasters and the thrills. Yeah. And Disney just doesn't really do that. It does the theming very well, but I need the coasters. I need the thrills. So I'm not like, oh my god, I have to go to Disney. But you know, I really wanted to go. I hadn't been there for a very long time, and I wanted to go and do Back to My Drop Tower enthusiasm. I had to go and do a little bit of Tower of Terror because I just absolutely adore it, especially the Florida one. And I just wanted to do Hollywood Studios, and I think I did Animal Kingdom because I wanted to go and ride Expedition Everest. So I did a 2-day Disney ticket thing, and I was at Hollywood Studios, and at the time it was not a good day. It rained a lot. I did all the rides, but half the park was closed because they were building the new Star Wars and Toy Story Land. So the ride offer in Hollywood Studios was honestly about 2 hours worth of a day. And I went to see some of the shows and I was done. And I was like, I'm finished. Like, I don't need to do anything again. I rode Rock and Roller Coaster maybe like three times. And I was like, okay, you know, done it now. Done everything I wanted to do. It was kind of like full price ticket as well. So not very good. And I was like, okay, I'm going to head back to the... wherever it was, I can't remember, where the taxis pick you up, or I don't know, I can't remember. I got on the boat that they offer from Hollywood Studios, and I wasn't really aware that it stops at Epcot. It stops at the hotels and at Epcot. So I thought, oh, I'll get off at Epcot, and then I can get on the monorail, because the monorail, I don't believe it goes to Hollywood Studios. Maybe I'm wrong. It's been a while. And I was like, okay, so I get on the boat, and the boat takes us to Epcot. And that's the last stop, and you have to get off. But you can only get off there if you have a Disney ticket that lets you into Epcot. So,
Okay. Because does it drop you off like in the park?
Yeah, like inside, in the middle of the lake that they have.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I'm like, I get off and then I talk to the ticket lady and I'm like, I don't have a ticket for Epcot and I've obviously got on the boat by accident. So, like, what do I do? And she was like, oh, I can give you a cast member pass or like on the little watch thing. It will let you through and then you just walk through the exit and then you can just give it back at the guest relations, right? I was like, okay. So he gives me this thing. I like tap myself in to Epcot and I'm like, well, I'm in Epcot. So I was like, okay. I was like, maybe this is, has like a timer or something and I have to give it back within a certain time. So I did exit the park. I was good. I was behaved. I exited the park. And then I just like, I had a thought being like, what if it let me back in again? So I went back in through the turnstile and it let me in. And I was like, I think this is just like an in and out pass. I don't think no one knows.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, test track, soaring, let's get on those things. And but I did do it, I did loads of rides in Epcot, and then the whole time I was super paranoid every time I saw a security guard. And they were on
Never
like
allowed back again.
no, and every time they had like the walkie-talkie out, I was like, oh my God, they're looking for me. Like, no, I was paranoid the whole time. But I had a good day. Like, I mean, I got my money's worth from Hollywood Studios that
Oh
was
yeah.
half closed.
Well,
So,
yeah, that's true. Like, let's be honest, they didn't. It's not like they didn't get their Disney money out of you.
Yeah, and you
No,
got the Tower of
exactly.
Terror as well,
Exactly. So I actually got three parks for the price of two. So that was
That's
a
great.
good
There
little
you go. If
day.
you want to get in for free, you need to just say, "I got off from the wrong place."
Exactly.
Now you know that's the
Yeah,
they
insider
must have
trick,
closed
please.
this loophole by now,
Maybe,
surely.
but. I don't okay. I didn't have a very comfortable day because I was obviously on edge the whole day that I was being watched. So
Yeah,
I
exactly.
wouldn't recommend it. But
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I don't advocate for getting into parks for free. I wouldn't do it.
It
I
was
definitely.
clearly a genuine mistake. And to be fair, they should have checked you before getting on the boat, right?
Yeah,
They
they
should
should have
have been
had
like,
someone like escort me like all the way. That's on
yeah,
Disney,
that's
not on
on them.
me. Yeah. But yeah, that was fun. That's the only time I've gotten to a park free. I got evac'd from Untamed actually at Wallaby Holland as well. That was fun. And I actually did some evacs myself at Movie Park when I worked there on the log flume, which was also very fun. You climb the catwalk and you get people out the boat and walk them down the catwalk. That was quite fun.
I think
So
that would be all right
yeah.
if it's not too high. I wouldn't like to be like evacing someone from the big one, for example. Like that always
Yeah.
is like
It's
my idea of hell.
It's funny because I'm actually scared of heights.
It's me
So
too.
yeah, but it's something about roller coasters that I'm not scared of heights at all. I don't
Yeah.
know what it is. And same with drop towers. Like I'll go on the biggest drop towers and I absolutely love it. But I am like, take me up a building or something, I'm like a mess.
Yeah, no,
So I
see, I
don't
can't
know
do drop
you.
towers, but
Oh, they're the
yeah, but
best. I
roller
love
coasters
drop
are
towers.
fine.
I think it's because
Love
you
drop
know
towers.
you are in something. I think when you go to the
I
top of
guess so. I
something,
guess
there's
so.
that element of, oh my goodness, if I step over the edge. But when you're on an actual roller coaster, you're on something, aren't you? You get to the top and you know you're going to drop back down to the bottom again. So,
I don't know. Just doesn't faze me. I don't know. It's just very strange. But I went up to CN Tower in Toronto, Canada, and I was a mess.
Brad, I know that you're a busy guy and we've been chatting for a while, so thank you so much for coming on podcast. Before you go, we've got one final question.
Just gotta ride it.
This is Just Gotta Ride It. It's the part of the podcast where we ask all our guests, if you could
Yes.
only save one roller coaster in the whole world and everything else is going to get destroyed, which roller coaster are you going to save? It doesn't have to be the biggest, the best. It could just be something that means something to you. Whatever your reasons, they're valid. We just need to know which one you would save.
Easy, Zadra,
Wow, not even like a half a breath.
Wow, no, you didn't even think about
No,
it.
that was it, honestly. Like, Nemesis close second because I know it's not the best roller coaster in the world, but it just holds a special place in my heart. I absolutely love Nemesis, but like Zadra, there's just I feel I've been spoiled as an enthusiast because every single ride I go on now, I go not as good as Zadra. Like I don't want to overhype it in case because I've been overhyped on coasters before and got off and been disappointed. But like honestly, it just had everything that I personally enjoy in a roller coaster and. Like I find like if that could just be the one like roller coaster left as a model for all other parks, Like that is, it would be amazing. I honestly sit here every day like waiting for a European park to like announce a coaster that's bigger and better than Zadra because I need more of it. It's
Yeah.
just, it's honestly like, it's incredible. The drop in the back is amazing. Like the air time, the hang time, the zero G stall, like the layout is like amazing. It's just got everything I like in a roller
Yeah.
coaster. It's lap bars. It's, yeah, it's so good. It's so good. And I just like, if that got removed, and that's like probably from me, I went to Poland recently to go just to visit again. And the whole trip, I stayed 2 nights, did Energylandia. I popped to Legendia as well to do Let Coaster again. Like the whole trip, including my flights and the Airbnb and everything, cost me 150 euros.
What?
Yeah, because
Amazing. the Wizz Air flight to Poland is like 20 euros. And Poland is just so cheap. The park is so cheap. The bus to the park from the city is so cheap. Like it's just such a doable trip for anyone. Like just to go there, and they have, I mean, Zadra's good. Hyperion is also amazing. Like, you know, the it came before Hyperia, and Hyperion missed the mark, unfortunately. But
A lot of
yeah,
people
and
mention Energylandia, don't they? A lot of the enthusiasts are really high on, you
it's a
know.
funny old park because the front of the park obviously is like early days when they just opened, and they just went, how many family coasters from Vekoma can we buy? All of them. And they just there's just so many, and there's just no need. But then as the park has expanded, they've really ventured into theming, and they ventured into, okay, other coasters, and they built Hyperion, and then they built Zadra, and they got Abyssus as well. And so they've definitely expanded in the coasters, and it's definitely a worth a visit. If you like credits as well, it's definitely like you can go there and get a plus 20 or whatever they have. But
Yeah,
you know,
insane number of cases, isn't it?
yeah, but then but they have a lot of what they have a lot of quantity over quality, which is like, you know, I'd rather have a park with maybe eight coasters that were all phenomenal rather than have like 20 but have four coasters that are good, you know.
Yeah,
So
it's
it's
very
kind of
true.
whatever you like, but they, you know, they've got an absolute gem there, Zadra, and it's a the best coaster in the world for me. I mean, I haven't been on some of the others that people say are amazing, so
Well, it'll be interesting to get your thoughts on Steel Vengeance when you've been on
exactly.
that to
yes
see how that
yes
does compare to it
yeah And I know
for you.
everyone loves Ayangkwazi. I haven't done that yet either, and also Velocicoaster, because I haven't been to Florida for a while, so I know people rate those very high. But yeah, I do again, I feel spoiled because, you know, once you've been on something that's that good, you just compare everything to it. I got off Ultron and I was like, okay, that was good, but it wasn't Zadra good, you know?
That is your level. Well,
Right.
you've got to have a look, and this is what we do, isn't it? When we have our top tens as enthusiasts or whatever, we are always looking for the one that's going to beat the one that's our current favourite. So it's part of why we do this. It's part of why we want to go to new parks. We're always like seeking the next thing, aren't we? And the next
Of
best
course.
thing. But yeah, it will be very interesting to see how Steel Vengeance compares to that for you. And I'm with you. I would love it if we got one built a little bit closer to home. If Park would like to do that, please.
Come on, Thought Park, they got space for it. Thought Park could do it behind Swarm, you know,
Yeah,
they've got the space.
definitely.
Oh
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
they definitely, I think we were all a little bit surprised that they haven't built an RMC, but
I think we should start a petition to get the UK an RMC because it needs
oh
to happen.
yeah, a proper one though, like not a single rare one,
I'm
like
spoiled. I've done all of them in Europe, so I feel very spoiled. I've done, you know, I've got two, three of them relatively close to me, the two Raptors, Wallaby Holland and Untamed. I did Wildfire in Sweden, which was incredible. Zadra is not that far away really either from me, so you know, it's an easy trip. So I need more in the area.
It's kind of nuts that there isn't one in Germany actually as well.
Yeah, very strange. I mean, we've got Colossus at Heide Park, which is a very good wooden coaster, but doesn't quite compare to an RMC. But I'm hoping that park needs a new coaster real soon. Otherwise, you know, I need to return. But I always feel, maybe you're the same, I don't know if you do this or not, but I will go to a park and I'll say, I had a good day, but I will not return until they build a new coaster.
Yeah, when you feel like you've kind of done it all and it's not
I'm
enough to
like,
just go back.
That's very true.
I did that with Movie Park. I went there the first time I moved to Germany. I really enjoyed myself, and I said it was good. I'm not returning until they build something like substantial. And they built the Star Trek Operation Enterprise coaster, and I was like, okay, they've, you know, got my attention to come back again. So
That's a good
more
idea.
RMCs, more RMCs for, you know.
That's a request from Brad. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Parkcast. It's been so great, like hearing about your life and your enthusiasm. And I'm sure lots of people would like to hear more about your trips and your adventures. So you should definitely post more of that stuff up on social.
Absolutely. If
I
you're
think.
If you're both ever in Germany, you're welcome to come visit the show. I can sort you out some tickets. I should.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah, absolutely love that. And let's be honest, we're going to be going to Fantasialand sometime soon. I can't, not 12 months goes by before I end up at that park for some reason. Yeah. it's been absolutely awesome having you on the show. You can find Brad on TikTok. That's where he found me. Yes. So seek him out on there. I'll drop a link in the description for the podcast. Yes. And you can see what he's up to with his shows. And hopefully some more theme park content as well.
Yes. I also have a theme park Instagram page called Coaster B.
Coaster B. Is that with the letter B?
Yes, B for Brad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. I mean, makes sense. Like it. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Coaster Beast. Have a search out for that on Instagram. If you haven't already, hit subscribe to Parkcast because we are going to be taking a little break over Christmas and you don't want to miss out when we come back in the new year. So if you do that, you'll get a notification when we release a new episode. And if you want to leave us a review, you can do that as well. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.